And Adam Thomas is like, so what are you gonna name that gun? And I was just threw a name out there. I was like, the Reaper. And he just starts dying laughing. He's like, the first thing I thought
How long did you say?
Say that.
1 minute.
Okay.
First thing I think about when you say it is a little black bug with flames on the sides and flames coming out of the exhaust.
Good morning, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to the Battlefront live from Olympia for our 150th show. Yes, it has been that long. It's pretty incredible. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ, but we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action, and as Scripture admonishes us, prepare your horse for battle. But the battle is the Lord's, and this year is the year for battle. And now from the Frontier Weekly Intelligence Briefing on the International Front, China dumps U.S. debt, and we have really not seen a lot in mainstream media about what's going on in China. The housing market taking a dive, the fact that China dipped into its strategic grain reserves, and the fact that they had a mega default. In other words, a default on par with one of the companies that defaulted in 2008, but it was in China, and we didn't hear anything about it. And we haven't heard anything about the fact that China is now dumping U.S. debt and replacing it with gold. This is the precursor to a massive currency devaluation in the United States if China decides to continue dumping U.S. debt and then has all this gold that it could potentially dump on the market at a later time. It's very interesting what is happening there, and it's something that you need to keep your eye on. In Ukraine, well, Ukraine is free for now. Their parliamentary speaker is now the acting prime minister of Ukraine. But the problem is the Russians have massed troops and are continuing to mass troops on the border with Ukraine. I posted on my Facebook page some reports from on the ground there. We have family members in Ukraine, and as kind of an interesting historical side note, members of my family actually helped remodel the presidential cabin that Yanukovych fled to outside of Kharkiv. Well, he is now being protected, as everybody seems to know, by Russian Marines in the southeast of Ukraine, and it seems that the Russians aren't going to go quietly into the night. However, there have been a lot of people out there saying that, well, this Ukrainian freedom is not really freedom, and they're going to just join with the European Union. Well, that is the infighting that is happening right now, and Vitaly Klitschko, the former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, is the real deal. Based on all my sources, based on all the research that I've done, he does not want to become part of the European Union, and nor does he want to become part of the Russian sphere of influence. He wants an autonomous, independent, free Ukraine. And I think we can all applaud that and get behind Vitaly Klitschko as the next leader in that wonderful country. On the national front, well, President Obama continues the emasculation of the United States by shrinking the United States military after purging it significantly. How are we going to ever defend our borders? How are we ever going to defend our country if we continue down this road? I don't know, but it is, again, something we need to be watching. On the Olympia front, and a positive note, 8 Freedom Agenda bills were voted out of the House before cutoff. Cutoff is the formal deadline when bills from the House of Origin need to be passed out that are policy bills, and we have had 8 Freedom Agenda bills move out and move to the Senate. Of those 8 bills, we have had several already scheduled for hearing, which we'll be talking a little bit more about on the show. On the local front, well, once again, House Bill 2732 to divert revenue to local law enforcement. Sheriff Knezovich asked for some help. Representative Jeff Holy and myself introduced House Bill 2732 to divert some of the tax revenue from marijuana to local law enforcement. Unfortunately, we have heard nothing from Sheriff Knezovich supporting that move, which is supported by the rank and file of law enforcement. Very unfortunate. Instead, though, he tried to attack me earlier this week and say that the bill we passed last year limiting access to coroner's reports prevented him from talking about the Creech case. The only problem is he didn't read the bill or read the final law, which clearly says that it only applies to a pending civil litigation. And since the Creech case was settled for $2 million, which, by the way, is one of the largest lawsuit settlements in the history of Spokane, Washington, he can actually talk about it. So let's end that nonsense, Sheriff, and let's get on the ball and answer the questions of the public about the Creech killing. And that this morning is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And speaking of freedom-loving Americans, on this 150th episode of Battlefront, I have with me once again this morning the bearded one from the 15th Legislative District, Representative Dave Taylor, and from the 42nd District, the newest bearded one. Although, you know, your beard looking a little shorter.
My beard's looking good, and you know it's looking good. Come on, Matt and Dave, chime in.
You want me to?
Yes.
I think they make some steroids or something, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Matt, congratulations. 150 episodes, that's a huge accomplishment for you. And I just want to thank you for doing such great work, not only here, but across Eastern Washington with your show.
Likewise, I was thinking about that on the way in this morning. I didn't realize it was your 150th show, but the impact that you guys are having, both of you, by broadcasting all over Eastern Washington, the message of freedom is huge. And I don't even know if it can be quantified.
Well, Jason and Dave, couldn't do it without you guys and your help throughout the entire time that we've been here with the Freedom Agenda, because one person can't do it alone. And praise God, we've been so successful. But also, Jason, you're doing a heck of a job raising the next generation of freedom fighter. You have your son Jake in the studio this morning, who is actually a pretty big fan of airsoft. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your airsoft games that you're doing up there, training the next generation of freedom fighters?
Oh, man. Well, we have a pretty unique group of guys up there. The last airsoft war we went to, we had about 20 people, and it was about 20 kids against 6 dads. And unfortunately, the dads won, beat us just about every time, but we held them off pretty long. So
Matt, I'm here to tell you that we fared very well against a huge army of kids. But yeah, you know, just a great time with dads and kids, and just a huge privilege to be able to have Jake down here with me, learning about his state government and just shadowing me all week long. And we try to do this every year.
Were you able to establish a beachhead and construct a series of breathing apparatus from kelp?
That is the funniest clip I've seen in a long time. Yes, we were.
So you guys are actually training the next generation of freedom fighters. It's not just lip service. You're actually doing it.
We really are, and it's so much fun to be out there, sons and sons with fathers, and spending quality time, and in the process getting some good airsoft tactics going.
Love it. Well, I think everybody should be doing that across the state of Washington. Well, let's talk freedom this morning. Let's talk about Ukraine. So it started with the church. Church started praying in Ukraine, not only the Orthodox Church there, but also the Baptists and Protestant churches started praying for freedom. And then they not only prayed, but they actually got involved. And lo and behold, 6 months later, Ukraine throws out its dictator. What do you think?
Well, let's start with the power of prayer. I mean, as you've said, the churches began praying for freedom. They began focusing their attention on through prayer on what they believed that was necessary for the country. And I would have to assume that the pastors there started talking about freedom and liberty and with regard to the biblical principles that we believe in as Christians. And suddenly now, 6 months later, we're seeing just an amazing and huge change in the Ukraine. And hopefully, you know, God willing, everything will continue to progress forward, and we won't see some sort of military coup from the previous regime really step in and go after those citizens of the Ukraine.
You know, I saw a couple of news stories this morning, actually, and none of it's new. But, you know, as we continue to put the Bible and Christians in a box, push them deeper and deeper into their own homes and into their own churches, and tell people that's really the only appropriate place to pray and to worship God, we're going to continue to see tyranny march in America. And it will only be, just like in the Ukraine, when the churches stand up and when pastors preach the word from the pulpit, unabashed, unashamedly, that we will see a resurgence and a revival of freedom, based on the freedom that Christ brings us.
You know, at the founding of this country, we had patriot pastors who were preaching literally on election day on who to vote for, the principles behind which people should vote. We don't really see that much anymore, do we?
Election Day sermons. Go jump on the internet and find some of them, and I think you will be astonished at the depth, the level of knowledge, and the level of pastoring that was given, not only to churches, but to legislatures. These things were given in front of legislatures. Can you imagine an Election Day sermon being given from the rostrum, just talking about the power of Christ, his ordaining, his creating a civil government, and what our duty as Christians is?
Oh. You know, it's kind of an amazing. I just learned this, that Thomas Jefferson, as he was running to be president of the United States, there were pastors that believed that he had a misunderstanding of the Bible, and because of that, they actually went out and told their churches, no, you cannot vote for Thomas Jefferson. Now today we look at Thomas Jefferson and we're like, wow, here's a dude that was a founding father and was an amazing individual. But at the time, the church said, no, his understanding of the Bible is not correct. And because of that, you can't elect him. Think if we had that in today's politics.
So the Ukrainians, through prayer and action, overthrew a socialistic, tyrannical, anti-Christian, anti-freedom of speech regime right outside the heart of the Soviet Union. And by the way, for people that don't know, the Ukraine is literally the breadbasket of Europe. It's the Palouse of Europe, about the size of Texas, the manufacturing heart of the former Soviet Union. And they threw them out in the middle of all that. What does that say about what we could do here in the United States to change the direction of our country back toward freedom and liberty?
I think, unlike a lot of these countries around the world that lack the constitutional and legal framework that we've been granted in the United States, and let's acknowledge we're just simply standing on the shoulders of giants, we still have our constitutional framework and foundation and all of the documents that precede those and lead up to. We need to stand on those. We need to defend those, and we need to demand that our elected officials obey them. And if they don't, we throw them out. And we have got to become vociferous in that regard. If we don't, these people will continue to disregard the law and turn it into a running joke, like we see every day.
There's no doubt. And Matt, when you say that the Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, I had the privilege of being over there in 1990, right out of high school. And I'll never forget waking up on a train and looking out the window and thinking to myself, where are we? Because it looks like the Palouse. This is the Ukraine in general. What a great example of what can happen through prayer, through great leadership in the churches, and ultimately accountability by the citizens of those elected by them. This is a great lesson for other countries, especially the United States. And let's just hope that as more people turn to Jesus and are able to move their ideas forward and make some significant, really lasting changes within their countries.
So it started with the church and then taking action after prayer. And that's really what we've done with the Freedom Agenda. We've had many hearings already scheduled for our bills, including the drone bill, the hemp bill. We had a hearing on it yesterday, the electronic home monitoring bill last Friday, the DOC bill last Friday. We've actually been able to get these bills hearings even in the Senate. Looks like we have a lot of them slated to pass out of the Senate as well, because we've gone on the offense.
That's exactly right. We have gone on the offense. I think what's lost on a lot of people as they look at Olympia, you know, why are you putting forward this radical idea, this radical bill? And we've said it here before, and we've said it in our own communities, if you don't begin the conversation, then it's never going to happen. And so we've gone on the offensive. We've put forward bills that a year ago were laughed at, and now they're passing off the House floor. We've got the hemp bill that had a hearing in the Senate. We've got the drone bill, also known as the Extraordinary Sensing Device Bill, scheduled for hearing in the Senate. 8 bills in total off the House floor over to the Senate. You know, last year we said, look, we had, with the success of the Freedom Agenda, thanks to the grassroots and praise God, you know, what are we going to do for an encore? And people were actually asking that question. Well, I think we've answered that question. We're going to surpass what we did last year, and we're going to move forward with an even greater number of bills.
People are saying, well, what difference are you really making? Well, 20 national news stories later, other states are now taking, for example, your drone bill and using that as model legislation across the country.
That's right. And yes, I'm the prime sponsor of the drone bill. And yes, other states are using that. But let's be frank. What we do here, we do as a group. We do this as a team. And you know, if Dave Taylor puts a bill forward, it's a bill. But when the three of us put a bill forward, it's a bill that other people suddenly sign on to, because they realize not only does it protect the freedom and liberties of the citizenry, but it's a good policy for Washington State. And so suddenly, instead of it being one of us, it's the three of us plus an additional 5, 6, maybe 10. And that's what moves those bills. It's the bipartisan support. It's the strong the strong message of freedom and liberty that people get behind.
It really is. And Jason, I've seen a huge sea change. People are now coming up to us just randomly on the floor of the House of Representatives. We're sitting out there just, you know, doing emails or something, waiting for the next voting session. And we're sitting there and people will come up to us and start asking us our opinion on things, what they should be doing, what they should be getting involved with. I mean, that's a dramatic paradigm shift.
Or why we just voted yes or no. And that's always been interesting to me in my 4 years here, when somebody runs up to you and says, well, why? I saw that you voted no on that. Well, there was only three of you. Why did you do that? Well, Section 3, subparagraph A, if you read that, it did X, Y, and Z. Oh, man. And, you know, we try to share those ideas. We work very hard to be inclusive. But the fact of the matter is that we've been sold this bill of goods by the state-level Republican Party that you have to moderate your message. And in doing so, we have left an amazing chunk of bipartisan bills, especially in the civil liberties realm, like surveillance, Fourth Amendment protection, unmanned aerial vehicles. We've left all this stuff on the sidelines. So we, as the Freedom Agenda team, have picked them up. And what are we seeing? Bipartisan support. And when these bills start to reach critical mass, what happens? Everybody jumps on board. Nobody wants to be the first. And so it just takes that critical mass. It takes leaders to stick their head above the foxhole and say, follow me.
So it looks like, because of some of our pushback, that we might actually get out on time this year. There's a budget that's in the works right now, but unfortunately, once again, there is funding that goes to Planned Parenthood. It looks like, we don't know how much yet, but we have some new numbers out about actually how much money is spent in Washington State for the direct inducement of abortion. So in other words, this is direct money spent on abortion.
We sure do. According to the Office of Program Research, which is nonpartisan, it's staffing for the legislature. In 2013, there was almost $6 million in direct funding, public funding for abortion. And on top of that, there was roughly $27 million of state and federal money that went directly to Planned Parenthood for a variety of services. Now, we know exactly the types of services Planned Parenthood provide, but we don't know is how much of that $27 million was also for abortion. So we raised the issue last year. We're going to raise it again this year. And with God's help and grassroots calling in, we might be able to make a change in the state budget so that we end the horrible practice of publicly funding abortions.
And I just want to elaborate a little bit on what Dave said. He's done such a great job trying to ferret these numbers out. And what people should never forget, whether it's the murder of unborn babies through abortion that are publicly funded or privately funded for that matter, but right now we're talking about taxpayer funds. Keep in mind that what you don't hear about and don't see is the massive amount of matching dollars, grants, funds from the federal government. And in the state of Washington, they match all of our family planning, Planned Parenthood, abortion funds to the tune of $17 million. Your federal government is subsidizing, giving the state taxpayer dollars from the federal level to do this very thing. And the second thought is, Dave and I were talking about this last night, we're state legislators. We're hyper-focused on this stuff. We understand to an extent how to read these budgets and ferret these numbers out. It is almost impossible asking direct questions of our professional nonpartisan staff to find out exactly where this money's going. Why? Because it's been designed that way. Even our staff cannot tell us where all of these dollars are going and what it's being used for. That is not right. If we, being hyper-focused on this situation, don't know, how in the world is the public supposed to know? And call me cynical, I think maybe it's set up that way.
Well, and let's be clear, the nonpartisan staff in my opinion, does a great job of getting this information. When they can't figure this out, and it's not intentional. They literally are saying to me, well, this is what we think. This is what's been reported, and that from that we don't know. It really shows just how dysfunctional our state budget is.
Yep. Well, this is Matt Shea with Representatives Dave Taylor, Jason Overstreet, and Jake on this 150th episode of Battlefront. Well, Jake, your dad has done a terrific job down here of fighting for freedom and liberty and constantly doing that. And I know it's probably something you don't talk about with your friends playing airsoft, but really, what does freedom mean to you in maybe a couple sentences?
Good question. I would probably sum it up as being able to do pretty much whatever doesn't bother your neighbor, anything that you think is fun or interesting, as long as you're not harming or hurting or disrupting anybody else's life.
Wow.
That comes from a 13-year-old. We've got 45-year-old legislators that couldn't answer that question that well.
Why is it that the state feels like they have to legislate all the way down to our children using a tanning bed? I mean, these are the things that are being talked about in Olympia, and it's just mind-boggling the things that we are using the heavy hammer of state statute to legislate. And a lot of it oft times is unconstitutional or it's unlawful. And Dave, we've talked about that on your show. Unlawful law? What are you talking about? Exactly. Those are the conversations we need to be having.
It borders on ridiculous. And we earlier in the session passed a bill off that would require a simple requirement. We're going to require local governments to post their agendas on their website. Currently, that's being done. It's a voluntary action. But now, through a bill, we're going to mandate it. And because we're going to mandate it, we're going to include civil fines. So before, when it was voluntary and it was a good idea, it was open government transparency, there's no fines, there's no problems, just do it. Now that we mandate it, we've got to include the civil penalties. Jason, you've said it so many times. What it comes down to on so many issues in Olympia is regulation and taxation.
That's all it comes down to. I mean, literally. And you know what? Let's just dabble in this for a minute, and Matt's probably pressed for time. You can't legislate morality.
That's right.
Really? Because that's all that's legislated in government. And by the way, all law is either explicitly moral or it's procedural to a moral concept. And our friends across the aisle, the Democrats, they legislate morality every session. So it's important that we get down to brass tacks, we figure out the fundamental principles that have made and are intended to keep us free, and we continue to work them hard.
We do, and we have actually been at the forefront of pushing just simple things like, oh, I don't know, the Washington State Party platform, and yet we're starting to get attacked over that, and it's actually happening nationally. I don't want to make it seem like it's just in Washington State, but we're getting attacked everywhere in this country. People that believe in freedom and liberty, that are willing to talk about the truth, that are willing to abide by a party platform and not just talk about it, but then take action and introduce bills to that effect. And suddenly, the same people that have been crying unity, unity, unity in the Republican Party, in the next breath, are running primary opponents against freedom-loving candidates, self-reliant Americans that are just getting involved in the political process. Jason, what's your take on why that's happening, and what do you think the grassroots needs to know about it and do about it?
Well, these are people in the highest positions of party politics, and it's interesting that and we actually heard you guys actually heard Senator Jim DeMint verify this. The closer you get to the people, the more support there is for Republican principles, conservative principles, for our Constitution, and for the freedoms that we've been given. It's as you climb that ladder, the leadership is absolutely horrified of true conservative action. And we've got to turn that around. And why that is, I don't know, other than to believe that they think that's the only way they can win in 21st century America is to moderate so far to the left that there's no contrast at all between the two parties.
What ends up happening is we eat our own. And I've said it, and I know I've frustrated people when I've said it, but we've got to understand that when we run a Republican candidate against a sitting Republican, we are causing them to do two things: spend time and energy differentiating themselves from whoever this new person is and spending money. And where's that money come from? It comes from the hardworking folks that are supporting individuals. But ultimately, it weakens the overall campaign such that suddenly now the Democrats in the lead. And we know from experience in Olympia, we know what types of bills the Democrats are going to run. And it is contrary to, in so many cases, contrary to what the individual district votes for, supports, and likes. We eat our own. This is nothing new, but it's all now because of, at least in some cases, this rush to the middle, this big tent circus that everybody wants to operate under. And it's a direct threat, in my opinion, to freedom and liberties across the state.
We have seen it happen in Texas with Steve Stockman and Ted Cruz. We've seen it happen with Rand Paul. We've seen it happen with Mike Lee in Utah. And I'm even hearing about it happening again this election cycle coming up in Spokane Valley, where it's the Karl Rove tactic. You can't beat them on the issues. They abide by the party platform. They vote 100% conservative. You got to attack them personally, and you got to mock them, and you got to try to marginalize them. How do the grassroots fight back against that? Because a lot of people just throw their hands up and say, you know, why do we even bother?
I've always said and will continue to say, bring a moderate Republican candidate against a conservative Republic. I think they lose every day, because again, the closer you get to the people, the more are the moral and conservative fabric of the American people comes out, and they're gonna go for a conservative Republican every time if that person can clearly articulate the ideals and the principles of freedom. It's just that easy. So I say, bring them.
And in that scenario that you just presented, though, what we face is the constant personal attacks on the constitutional conservative candidate, such that even the media picks up on it and enables it to continue. And the absolute character assassination that occurs, it's very difficult to overcome. So it's, you know, call it a conspiracy theory, call it what you want, but the fact of the matter is that, in my opinion, it's the moderation of the message, it's the moderate candidate working in conjunction with the special interest groups to attack the constitutional conservative candidate to the point where he can't defend himself.
All right, Jake, 10 seconds. You have anybody you want to say hi to?
Hi, Mom.
See, there you go. That's Freedom and Liberty, mother and apple pie right there, man. I love it. Well, thank you for joining me on this 150th episode of Battlefront this morning. Jason, Dave, and Jake, it's been a true pleasure. Remember to pray for a revival of repentance. We still live in the greatest country in the world, despite the internal evil we are facing. Visit Freedom Agenda on Facebook. Like the page. Share it with your friends, your family, your neighbors. Also follow us on SoundCloud. This is Matt Shea. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.